Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wise. I'm Hardy Wise. Join me now, won't you, as we journey together on a journey with a journeyman and see what we can find by merely looking out the window of our train, of our ship, into the museum that is the world passing by. Seed kuad locuor cui locui necio. Necessitas est non presumption. But that I speak not knowing how to is necessity, not presumption. You are the least articulate and least intelligent person to ever have a radio show. Why is that? I have an urgent message. I have to deliver it with the mind and tongue I have, not the one I wish I did. It'd be easier to dig with a shovel, but I can dig just as much, with more effort and time, with just a spoon. There is no spoon. Can I enter your museum? Have you ever visited our museum before? No. Is it a wax museum? Is it a wax? Well, there's wax in it, like an ear or a beehive. But it's also a paper museum, an electrical museum, and various other materials. Almost everything on the periodic table except the things that burn or glow.
How much is it?
How much what?
How much to get in?
Oh, it's free to get in. The price to get out varies.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding. It's a donation, so anything you like.
Oh, I don't have any money.
I figured as much. Here's your ticket. Enjoy. Just press the buttons in front of the exhibits. I am, and have been, though I'm not sure for how long, a house. Not a simile. I'm not as big as a house. I am a house. It's not a metaphor. I am literally a building, a structure with rooms and walls and a roof and wires through which course electricity and pipes through which water flows. I am a house. I am speaking to you because I also have an awareness that I am a house, with the ability to articulate memories. Not the way that non-sentient houses might, with walls full of pictures and attics full of school papers and outgrown toys, but I have memories of conversations, of smells, of nails driven into my sides, of broken windows, slammed doors, and shingles lost to the wind. I am a house, and I am alone. I'm surrounded by houses, but none like me, and those who live in me live their own lives and share little except inadvertently. I spend windy nights praying the tall oaks and pines around me don't fall over and crush me beyond repair. Most days, I'm empty and alone and alive and frozen here. I am a wrestler in every way. Like in the Bible when they changed Jacob's name to Israel because it means wrestles with God, Israel. My new name is Wrestles with Everything. God, the world, people, ideas, stupid stuff I can't open, stupid screws that won't go back into the hole I just unscrewed them from. I wrestle with dead relatives and live strangers and the weather and things people tell me that are stupid and true things and lies and smells. I fight everything, and I'm alone, and I don't care, because when I'm not alone, I'm fighting.
I am a speaker, not a writer. I don't want to make things permanent. I don't want to make babies. I want to make ghosts. I don't want traces of words hanging around to be cut up and tortured or imprisoned or made into robot words that do the bidding of tyrants. I speak clouds and rain and wind, and they disappear. Memory is the enemy. Proof is the enemy. Forget what I've said and be free.
I am dead. Well, not really dead. I'm in the realm of Hades, sitting in the chair of forgetting. Maybe I am the chair of forgetting. I don't remember. I came here to get something. Did I? I don't know. What was I saying? Oh, I am dead. Well, not really dead. I'm in the realm of Hades. I came here to get something, but I sat in the chair of forgetting. Okay, hang on.
So I think we should kill all the crew and take... Do you hear something?
No, Captain.
Are you sure?
Yes, Captain.
Because it sounds like there's something in that apple barrel there.
Just apples, I'm thinking.
Because I suspect there might be a boy in there spying on us.
Unlikely, sir.
Is it?
Yes. More likely to just be some apples stirring about.
Stirring about. I better take a look in there to be sure there isn't a boy in there spying on our plans to take the ship.
I wouldn't do that, sir.
Why not?
Waste of time, Captain.
It'll take 2 seconds.
2 seconds you'll never get back.
But what's the harm in looking in there if there's nothing there?
You don't want to see the way we store our apples. It'll put you off apples.
You think?
Oh, yes. They're just thrown in there willy-nilly. Not covered or anything.
Ooh. So you don't think there's a boy in there stowing away, spying on us?
Absolutely not. If you don't believe me, you're welcome to not look and think me a fool.
So, just continue talking about our mutiny plans.
Yes, sir.
Irregardless of the potential spying boy.
I don't mean to correct you, Captain, but the word is regardless.
Oh, I do that all the time. I also say reoccur.
It's recur.
Yes. I mean, you don't say reoccursion, am I right?
Yes, this time you are, sir.
Just recapping. Although I hear something moving in the apple barrel right next to us, do not look inside to see if it's a spying boy, because it's a waste of time, and also the knowledge of apple storage will forever change my opinion of onboard apples.
That's why you're the pirate captain, sir.
I value your counsel.
Thank you, Captain.
Once upon a time, there was a very lonely person named Lou. Although he had friends, he still felt mostly alone in the world. One day, he decided to try and find companionship, and when he asked for advice, he was told to go to Hades, and so he did.
I am Hades. I am a person and a place.
Hey, sorry to bother you, but I feel lonely, and I guess I'm looking for companionship or something.
All right, take a seat here in the chair of forgetting.
The chair of forgetting? Looks comfortable. What is this made of, stone?
And so Lou sat down in the chair of forgetting and became unable to move because he couldn't remember why or how.
You know when you walk into a room looking for something and then forget why you went in there? Either do I, actually.
And so there he sat for what seemed like eternity, until he was rescued by a German medieval monk called the Arch-Poet, who tunneled into the underworld using only a spoon.
Come on, take my hand. I hope you remember who you are.
Come on and take my hand. I will help you remember who you are. Oh, my friends, we come into this world alone and we live... Now, hang on, that's not correct. We do not come into this world alone. We come into this world dragging behind us millions of years of biology. Millions and millions of ancestors behind us. We are pulling them. They are all connected, going way, way back. All of the monkey grannies behind us. All of the ancient meemaws that look like little rats scurrying afraid into the corners to hide from predators and dinosaurs and terror birds and things like that. We carry all this with us, connected by fleshy, gristly umbilicals like rope. We pull them. Oh, imagine that burden. You are not alone, but you feel alone. Just like the point of a pyramid feels alone. It's up there at the sky, but it's sitting, it's resting on all of this other stone. Oh, my friends, I am here to keep you company. I'm here to be with you. I think that's my only mission. Because I have no other qualifications. I am not articulate. I am not wise. I am not a smart person. I am simply here to remind you that you are not alone and to make you feel as if you would like to be alone. Because you say, please, sir, I am just trying to mind my own business here. I do not need company.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm also here, and so I guess you're going to have to deal with me, as I'm going to have to deal with you. And so, why should we not be friends? I don't know the circumstances of our meetings. Perhaps you are sitting in a car right now, and I'm on the car radio. Do they still have one of those? I don't know if they still have car radios. In my day, they would have a car radio, an 8-track player, a cigarette lighter. Now, why would you have that? Well, in the car, you never know when you need something to cause an electrical fire, and then light your cigarette. I don't know if that leaves you any hands left to drive with. In a car, driving, though, seems like the last priority, right? Because there's other, you want to fiddle with stuff in the passenger seat, look for tapes. But I'll tell you what, maybe I can be the person that holds that wheel for you while you fiddle around looking for something under the seat. I don't know what it is. Are you hiding something? Are we being pursued by the police? Oh, my goodness. Keep it down, cops. What are we keeping down? I don't know. Our guilt, our inherent guilt. And that is something we also carry with us. Who knows what our ancestors have done? I don't like to look behind me because there's probably something chasing me. Is that correct? I use my senses, though. Do I hear anything? No, I'll just block it out. Oh, all you hear now maybe is the sound of my voice. I hope that it can provide something to you. Oh, friend, we sit together, don't we, like passengers? You wish you were the only one on the plane sometimes, don't you? I wish I was the only one on the plane. But if you were the only one on the plane, there would be no pilot. There would be no one to bring you that small, tiny teaser amount of peanuts, right? I want a whole bucket of peanuts. I don't, though. What would I like on a plane? What could somebody bring me? A banana? Those don't keep well, probably. What keeps well? Candy? They never give out candy. I guess that seems like bad for you, right? But it'd be lovely. Say, would you like the peanuts? Or would you like the collection of gummies or jelly beans or something like that? Let me have the jelly beans and a gin. Thank. That'd be lovely. No, I don't want any of that. I just want to sit here and, oh, I'll tell you what, though. Do you have natto or kimchi or some sort of fermented food? No, sir, that is not allowed. How about a durian fruit? No, the stink will offend your fellow passengers. My fellow passengers, they're human beings. There is nothing stinkier than a human being. Oh, the smell of a human? Do you know there is a planet that is made up of sentient durian fruit, and you are not allowed to bring a human being on the durian fruit subway because it's too stinky. Isn't that ironic? So many things are ironic, aren't they? I don't know. Maybe not. I know a lot of things are paradoxes. Paradoxote. I don't know what the plural of anything is because to me, everything is one. Maybe it has no plural. I don't even say we when I'm saying, you know, we're in trouble or something. I just say I'm in trouble. Oh, but I'm not in trouble because I am with you. And as long as my heart is with someone else's heart, in a big pile of hearts, that I find that grotesque. But hey, you know, you can't be too grossed out by your own biology. It's guts. You're soaking in it. How can that be? You are. Coursing through your veins is blood and snot. Well, there's not snot. I was going to say snot coursing through your. There is no snot circulation system. It seems like that this time of year, though. I don't know where it's coming from. Is there an sort of like I've got blood veins, and then I feel like I got snot veins, too. It's coursing through my system. I feel weighed down by it. I don't know whether it's a cold or allergies or both or whether it's some sort of curse. I guess that mucus has some sort of purpose. I think originally it was used as primitive wallpaper paste. Before people came up with actual wallpaper paste, they, and then let's just stick the paper up on the wall like that using our viscous spit. That's a nice name, and I'm going to name a child that, I think. I hope not. I don't want to name anything. Names are a burden, aren't they? Just words in general. Every time I utter a word, I think, oh, the way it's been misused. I don't know. Words to me are like, mattresses. You know, you put a mattress at the curb. Nobody wants it because they don't know where it's been. Like, I don't know whether it's got bed bugs or urine. And I'm telling you that most words that we use that are meaningful are saturated with
urine and bedbugs and whatever, the equivalent, meaning-wise. You know, they've been distorted. And so you say something, and you don't even know how that word is going to go over when you say that to somebody. And sometimes it sets them off. You say a word, you know, like, oh, try to use the word God. Oh, how, what's that? That's like an old couch. And, you know, no, good God, who knows? Oh, good God, I can't use that. Who knows what's under the God couch cushions, right? Who knows what those cushions are saturated with? And you kind of don't, so how am I going to use this? I'd have to reupholster it. And then if I reupholster it, right, and I replace everything, I have sort of a ship of Theseus problem, don't I? Is it still the word that I started with if I've changed everything about it? And so I find language and words burdensome. This is why I'm not a poet. This is why I'm not a songwriter. This is why I'm not an artist, because I go to use a thing and I think, oh, I don't know. I don't know how people are going to take this. How can I just convey feelings to somebody without using any words? So what I do is I go up to people on the street and I just grunt at them. I gesticulate like that, as if I'm trapped in plaster. And I'm trying to say, let me out, like that. And the reaction is always poor, even though I know that they may be experiencing the same things. Oh, I think our hearts are both calling out and yearning for the same thing. We are lonely creatures, but then we get around others and we think, hey now, is this really what I want? What do I want? Companionship? And then when I find companionship, I think this is not really what satisfies. What will truly sate this thirst and hunger? What will satisfy this yearning in my heart? I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know what's causing it, really. I think what's causing it is the chain of zombie meemaws, the chain of zombie monkey meemaws that I drag behind me. Skulls. I am sitting on a pile of my ancestors' skulls. And someday my skull will be added to that. And others will come after me. And they'll say, boy, this hearty white skull is pointy. And it's jabbing into my literal and figurative butt. But what are you going to do? Oh, are you discouraged, my friend? Maybe I could lift you up somehow. I don't mean literally. I probably couldn't lift you. Maybe I could. I don't know. I think I need judo lessons. There was an episode of the Andy Griffith Show one time where Barney had a bully. This is terrible. And he's a deputy. Like I said, well, if that's not going to get me respect, this uniform, because everybody who's worn a uniform knows this. Even if you poison lawns, you have a little uniform. And but that didn't get him respect, and he was being harassed by this fellow, this bully fellow. And so he studied the judo with Professor something, I forget his name, but there was a judo studio. Isn't that amazing? You don't see that very often, but there was a judo studio in Mayberry. And to this day, people go there to study. And so he studies judo, but I guess he doesn't learn enough or fast enough. And so Andy has this idea, we will get the judo master to dress as Barney. The bully will come confront him. The judo master will do one of them throws, right? He'll grab his gi. I guess it's not wearing a gi, maybe his suit, his cheap suit, and toss him onto the floor. And then the bully will not bother anybody anymore. And so then next time he sees Barney, he'll remember the beatdown he got, and Barney will get the respect that he didn't earn. And they do this. And it all revolves around that, being able to throw somebody over your shoulder. But is that really how you gain respect? Yes. But I don't like that. I don't know. Maybe I don't want respect. Maybe I don't need it, but I don't want to be bullied. Solve my problems, Hardy. No, I can't. I'm sorry. It's like, do you go to your barber for medical advice? Well, you're thinking, well, I heard thousands of years ago people did, that they went to their barber for medical advice. Is that right? Yes, and their butcher would give them psychological counseling. Say, what kind of cut of meat would you like today, and how does that make you feel? Torn, you know, because here I am cutting up another creature. Do I need it to survive? I don't know. That's up. You have to make that decision. No one can make these decisions for you except all of your ancestors and years of biology that are making the decisions for you, and you don't have any free will. Oh, is that true? Is it? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm saying these things, and sometimes I feel like I'm just singing songs that I heard. If you asked me to sing a song, I would not sing a song that I composed. And even if I did sing a song that I composed, it would be made up of previous songs, because there is really nothing new under the sun. Does there have to be anything new under the sun? If there's nothing new under the sun, and all songs are just previous songs mixed up and rearranged, isn't that okay? Aren't we, people, creatures, living things, just songs that are mixed up and rearranged? Is your face that different? You ever look at one of those things, say, here's your ancient ancestors. Here's Homo habilis, or here's one of them, Homo erectus or anything. And then, granted, they're a little monkey-like looking, but they also look like people. And if you just went thousands and thousands of years ago, those people look exactly like you. Exactly like you. So you're not new. You're the same sun. Song. Sun. Why did I say sun? I wonder if I'm secretly thinking about stars. Are stars different from one another? They're different sizes, different intensities. But when you look at them from a distance, they all look the same. To see real differences, you have to look up close. The farther you move away from something, the more same it looks. That's why crowds of people, when you're in them, all the faces look different and strange. And when you pull back, it's just a crowd of people. You can't identify anybody. Oh, it's perspective. It's how far away you are. If you're far away from a person, you can't recognize all the things that make them unique. But when you're close up, so when I meet somebody, I get really close to them and I look up their nose and I say, oh, I can see all your pores. And they say, please, get away. I say, why? Because you're in my personal space. And I say, what do you mean by that? And they say, I have some kind of invisible aura around me that I extend past what you can see, past the limits of my skin. There is something, I don't know what the radius is. Different people glow at different rates or anything. And you get past that, you say, now you're not, it doesn't seem like you're touching me, but actually you are. You're almost moving through me like a ghost. Oh, sometimes I feel like I'm moving through you like a ghost. I'm moving through you like those ghostly things with the long hair in the second Matrix that float through everybody. That's what I'm doing because I am made of electromagnetic radiation right now. There's no Hardy White. There's just electricity Hardy White. And that's what you're experiencing. And I am moving through you like radio waves. They are literal radio waves are little. I say literal and little are the same word. Did you know that? They're not. They are when I say it. I think when I destroy things like that, when I misspeak, I am accidentally making poetry. So when I say sun instead of song, I'm making a sort of poem. Accidentally. And I think accidentally is the best way to sound a man then. Now I'm just speaking nonsense. Am I though? Is it? It's still music. I love hearing languages that I don't understand, that I don't understand one word of, that I have no experience with, that I've never, ever encountered. So it just sounds to me like gibberish. And then I try to hear patterns. Oh, why is that? Because I feel dragged down by meaning. Everything we hear has to have a point, but wonderful things don't have points. When you be in touch, say, I want to be touched and caressed. All right. And you want it to have a point? No, not really. Are you sure? You sure you don't want me to touch you with some kind of pointy thing and drag that point, that sharp stuff over your skin? No, have no point, Hardy. Be a blunt instrument. I want you to be like a towel. I want you to pass over me like a towel and wipe away all the moisture of my discontent, of my loneliness, of my mental pain. I can't take it away. No, you can't, but you can sort of wipe me off temporarily. Wipe me, Hardy. Wipe me. That's what, you ever had a small child yell that from the other room? You're, oh, when are they going to learn? It's only a small period of time, I think, before they learn that they can wipe their own bottom. But there is a point there, wipe me, Uncle Hardy. And you think, oh, my goodness. Sometimes with the elderly, that you have to do that too. I know that's tough, but if you love somebody, at some point, you may have to wipe their bottom. You may have to feed them. We feed babies. We feed the elderly. I've fed both. I remember when I was feeding an elderly person that was no longer able to feed themselves. It was with one of those little spoons that's kind of plastic on the end so they don't, if they bite down, they don't hurt themselves or something. You don't scrape their mouth with it, just like you'd feed a baby. And I was feeding them food that looked just like baby food. And I was thinking, here I am. And I was actually feeding somebody who fed me. What a strange thing. Oh, love, it binds us to one another. It feels almost like torture sometimes. Say, I wish I didn't love, but I'm compelled to love. I wish I didn't have attachments to other human beings, but I do. My heart calls out for them. I'm not separate. I want to be alone sometimes, and I'm not. And then when I am alone, I feel pain. I feel like there's no purpose to my life. Sometimes I feel purpose just being in a group, not even having a job to do in that group, just being with other people. I'll be like, okay, I am, you know, guy in a suit number two, just like you're an extra in a movie. And it feels fine. I got a role to play. It doesn't care if my role is small. I'm glad it's small. I don't have to memorize a lot of dialogue. In the movie of life, I'm the guy in the background walking by, taking my hat off at the window and just looking in at some brand new dresses or whatever's in the window of that store. That's going to be my role, and that's fine. I don't have to be like the friend that goes, come on, the cops are after us, run. I'm fine just being the fella on the sidewalk. I'm fine being the little gray man. I've talked about this before, but in the spy world, the little gray man is the unnoticed agent that is collecting information. And I feel like that's what I do. I walk around and I collect information and I make observations and I bring it to you. Because you are the spy master. You are my contact. You are the whatever to whom I answer. I forget my spy hierarchy. There's a word for that, my contact. I don't remember. I just want to be your agent. There's all sorts of agents, aren't there? There's real estate agents, or as they call them in England, estate agents. Why can't you say real? Why can't you say that word? Is it a problem? I don't know. But there's all sorts of other agents. Travel agents. I would be really terrible on Family Feud. I don't know, Richard. Can I say pass? Because I don't even want to play this game. I don't know how I got on here. This is not my real family. This is a fake family. This is a family. These are actually actors I was in a sitcom with. See, we're not even a real family. So say, oh, it's the Whites. It's not the Whites. It's not everything. It's the Miracle Nutrition cast. I love Butchie and Lou and all the rest, but I'm not related to them. And I don't feel like we should have to come up with answers together or compete against other families. Don't enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't need a recliner that bad. Besides, I think they're dangerous. I think recliners are dangerous. They've got all that mechanical. I don't want a chair that has all these moving parts and mechanical things that somebody could get body parts stuck in. And they do. You know? Mechanical, those chairs that recline, they have killed people. Can you imagine that? Why did you even need to just have a chair? Sit in the chair. If you want to recline, just move over to the bed or the chaise. You can move over to the chaise. Lounge. Is that what it is? Chaise lounge? Deck chair? My uncle bought a dying chair. He knew he was dying, and like a lot of people in my family, he didn't tell anybody because he wanted it to be a wonderful surprise. Have you ever known that? Have somebody been sick in your family and they think they're sparing you? They're sparing themselves is what they are. They don't want to tell you because they don't want to see you be sad. So they figure, well, I'm just going to keep it a little, just a little surprise. And then, but he knew he was dying. So he bought a special dying chair so he could sit in it and relax out on the porch and put his feet up and expire. And he did just that. And I don't know if that's a good, I guess that's a good way to go. So I know one of these naps is going to be the last nap. The last nap is like the last lap. I got to do one more lap around the track. I've been running lately because I'm trying to get healthy. And I always think one more, I'm going to do one more circle around the block and then I'm done. And then I think, do I want to be done? Do I want to be done running? Is that really my goal? To be finished? Maybe I want to keep running. Maybe I like being in the middle of things. Maybe there is no sort of resolution to anything. Maybe there is no end to the story. Maybe there is no point. And I like things without points, like I said. I don't like pointy things. My head is pointy, not literally. Bigger. I just kind of literally pointy, too. I've got a lot of my hair is falling out, you know, naturally. I mean, I come from bald people. And I lost my hair early, rather early, I think, as a young person. So I looked very mature. No, that's not true. I went from looking young to elderly. And I've looked that way, and I've gotten senior discounts almost my entire life. But my head's got some sort of crest on it. And I guess it's vestigial from when my ancestors, who were sort of cavemen, needed very strong jaw muscles to crack open nuts and bone and stuff. And so there'd be a crest on top of their head where these extra muscles, these extra strong jaw muscles are attached. So I can be a biting, crushing machine like that. And I guess I still have mine because I've had this ridge. And people have commented on it when they say, man, you got an odd-shaped skull. And I say, I know, I'm sorry. I am dragging around my ancestors on this big rope. Is that what's behind you? Yeah, bring them everywhere. I don't even know. Like, they've made adjustments and things like that in order to survive. And I have to bring them with me. So what do you got there? Let's unpack it. Let's open this old case. I just inherited this suitcase, friends. What's in it? I don't know. I haven't looked yet. How old is it? It's millions of years old, and my ancestors have given it to me. Well, let's open it up. Let's see what's in it. Oh, fear. I see fear right away. Yeah, see, they needed that. Fear motivated them to survive. Fear motivated them to run away from saber-toothed tigers and other crazy creatures. All right. What else is in it? Oh, you know, sadness. What was that for? Not sure. I think it's all related to the fear, apprehension in general. Well, gosh, there's a lot of stuff in here. What else is it? Love and attachment. What's that for? I think that's for, again, for continuation of life. So I don't understand. So how can the purpose of everything just be keep going? That doesn't make much sense. How can you just keep going if the goals keep changing? I don't understand. Persevere. To do what? Well, to murder. Okay. Oh, now it's to save a life. Okay. See, it's confusing. Just keep going? That doesn't seem very satisfying. I'm going to have to make something up. I'm going to have to make up a purpose. Is that okay? It must be okay. If there isn't anything there, why can't I make up something to put there? I'm in a house with bare walls. Now, bare walls are fine. Walls are doing their thing. They're holding up the roof. But that doesn't seem enough for me. I have to look at those bare walls every day. I think I'll put something on those bare walls. What? It doesn't matter, does it? I can put anything I want up there. I can put up a painting. I can hang up a big dummy, like a sculpture or something. I can put anything I want. I can paint the wall any sort of color. Maybe I'll do some kind of Trump Loy thing where it looks like a tunnel, and then I'll just keep running into it thinking it is one. And it, how can I fool myself daily? Oh, I can fool myself daily. I can fool myself daily. You want me to teach you how to do it? How to self-deceive every single day? How to surprise yourself by not quite remembering what you did the day before? How to repeat behaviors over and over again? Oh, my grandfather used to say, it is the skin on cucumbers that causes you to repeat. So if you take the skin off a cucumber, you'll never repeat. I'm going to repeat. What is he talking about? He's talking about belching. But I didn't know. I thought a repeat was like, you know, something when they show the same episode of Cannon or Mannix. These words mean nothing to you, do they? Again, after old TV shows that I watched with my grandfather. And we've seen this episode of Mannix. Should we watch it again? Sure, why not? I like Rockford. Oh, they still have Rockford. That endures. What a timeless, timeless television show. I'm a big fan of the Rockford Files, and I've made no secret of that. And I was reading, maybe it was comments or something on a related online video, and someone said, when my father was dying, they said, all he wanted to do is watch Rockford Files. That resonated with me. I feel like that. I think maybe my grandfather did a similar thing. And if I knew I was sick, so sick that I was not going to recover, I too think I would like to see Rockford Files and lose myself in a story. Lose myself in some sort of pretend. Why not? Why not feel those things again? Imagine that I am running away or towards some bad guys. Imagine that I'm trying to help a friend. And I just happen to be wearing a brown sports coat because it's the 70s. I don't mind that at all. Oh, I wish that I was a brown sports coat wearing private investigator for you. Am I that? Even a little bit? Do I set your heart at ease at all? Am I helping you at all? Maybe I need to entertain you like a clown. Oh, let's go to the circus. Do they still torture animals? I think they're doing that less now. They used to prod them in the behind and make them jump up and do things. Walk on your back legs like a human elephant. Like a human elephant? Like a human. Comma elephant. I know there's Indian and African. Could you shut up and go to the circus? We are at the circus. And we are watching a performance. And we are, for the moment, distracted. Oh, can I sing for you? That ain't singing. Who says? I'm making noise now. Do the words have to have any meaning? I wish they weren't. Because if they did have meaning, you might be tempted to type them up in front of some sort of background and put them on social media. Hardy says, and then you take a quote, and I don't feel like I'm very quotable. Or people will quote me and others will say, what does that mean? Like, I don't know. And when I was listening to it, it seemed to have some meaning. But now that I'm quoting it out of context, it doesn't seem to have any meaning. And that's because I've taken all that out. You know, it's like you go to the Army-Navy surplus store and a lot of those hand grenades are not going to have an actual explosive in them. I've taken that out. I've taken the dangerous part out of all the words. I've disassembled the trigger mechanism of all these ideas that I'm speaking to you. I am spaying and neutering poetry because I don't want it to have babies. I think that's dangerous. I think my words could go out there and be misused or something like that. And I wish I was more clever, just a little bit more clever. I wish I was just slightly smarter. Don't you? Does everybody wish that? I acutely am aware of it at dinner parties and things like that. And I think, why have I been invited exactly? Other than, some people that have interesting stories need someone to listen. And I think that's my purpose sometimes, is to listen and nod and say, that is amazing. What a fantastic life you've had. Let me compare it to mine. Uh-oh. I try not to compare my life to others. And let me tell you something about suffering. I haven't suffered that much, I don't think, in my life, not comparatively. I mean, I'm sort of a student of history, and I've looked at suffering throughout the ages, and boy, there's some real suffering, and I haven't experienced any of that. I've experienced sort of like, just the training suffering, just a little bit, but I recognize it in others, all right, and I understand that, and I understand other people's pain, and I acknowledge it, and I have noticed that suffering is infinite. So there isn't a finite amount of suffering. So if you're getting some and you think that the way to get rid of that is to give some of it to others, you're going to find that it doesn't work that way. So if you're suffering, you cause suffering in others, there's really just twice as much. It just keeps coming. The way to get rid of it is to get rid of it. The way to get rid of it is to prevent it in others. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, let's say it's some vegetable that you don't like. I love lima beans, but some people don't. My mother doesn't. She finds them disgusting. I don't get that. But so if my mom, as a child, was served a plate of lima beans, she might want to scrape those lima beans onto the floor so the dog could eat them. But what she was fine if those lima beans were true suffering is that the lima beans would reappear on her plate. And now the dog would be stuck eating those dry, ill-tasting vegetables. I love them. It's a terrible analogy because I like them, but she didn't. You see what I'm saying? So how do you get rid of it? You know? Well, you might not be able to get rid of it, but maybe that dog suffering, that's not going to make you feel better. You have a bad day, you come home, you kick the dog. Do you feel any better? You just created more of it. Oh. But I find if I help somebody alleviate their suffering, mine becomes a little more bearable. And I got to tell you, again, mine is not really serious. But sometimes it's serious to me. And then I find that it starts to, now I'm not, this is not a moral principle I'm telling you, it's practical advice. It's just practical advice. It's like, don't put your hand on a hot stove, right? Don't do that. I'm just telling you, as one human to another, I've done it. It doesn't give me any joy to watch you do it. In fact, if I tell you don't do it and you don't do it and I prevent you from putting your hand on a hot stove, it makes me feel like my hand burn was not in vain. Oh, I am not a special person, and I thank the universe for that, because if I was special, you've seen what happens when stores have specials. Everybody goes there, they make a line around the block, and they try to get in. No one's trying to get into my store. You ever see those stores have the word sale on the side, on the window all the time? Sale, big sale. And you go, every time you go past, you say, wow, I mean, are they really having a sale every day? And literally they are, because they're selling things. But I guess sale also means, you know, a special short-term discount on the regular price. But if we think we're getting something for less, doesn't even have to be true. We go in and say, this is a big sale, I better go. There is a clothing store that I go to sometimes. It's a big chain. It's a big department store in the mall. And they do this thing where you have a garment and it'll have a price tag on it. And then it'll have another price tag at a higher price. And I'll have the lower one over that, and it'll say, this is now this much off. So let's say you go in, it's an overcoat, all right? And it says, normally, $500. But today, $250. And you say, that is fantastic. But if you took 2 seconds, you'd realize that it's a $150 coat. That it never was a $500 coat. You're being tricked. You're being tricked that you're getting something that you're not getting. Oh, how many things have a low price sticker over a big one? You're being fooled a lot. And the biggest thing you're being fooled into is fearing things for which there is no danger. Because fear is the inheritance of all of us. Through that line of ancestors that we are connected with the fleshy umbilical that I mentioned before, the line of ancestors that includes the monkey meemaws way back, they have passed down that suitcase of fear, and that stays with us, and everyone knows we have it, and if everybody knows you have it, then everybody wants to use it, and they will. You will be made fearful for things that you don't have to be fearful of. You know, some of that fear was for running into a little hole when there was a dinosaur chasing you. There's no dinosaurs chasing you right now. But if I could make you think there was a dinosaur chasing you, you would probably pay me for the privilege of running into a little damp hole. Can you imagine that? Something you wouldn't normally do. Well, why would I crawl into that cave? Because there's something chasing you. Okay, I guess I need to crawl in that cave. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You owe me something. See, that's how it works. Generate the fear. Create a need that isn't there. And then extort something from you. I am subversive. I am one of the most subversive voices that you will hear during your day. Because I am going to tell you something that can't be commodified. I am going to give you something that can't be made into a book or a movie. I want to provide you with words that have no meaning, that cannot be made into a meme or a bumper sticker. I want to give you something that is going to prevent your exploitation. That is subversive in a world that counts on your exploitation. Oh, I want to give you something. I want to give you a secret key, and I want nothing in return. And I promise to leave you alone. I won't ask anything of you. I will not ask a price. I won't even tell you my actual name. I will just slip you a key. And that key might free you, not from your ancestors, not from that chain of monkey meemaws. You can't be free of that. But I tell you what I will do. I will tell you how to manage that fear. I will tell you that that fear is there to serve you. You are not its slave. I will tell you that you are loved. By whom? Well, I don't know. Me? Is that enough? That's all I can give you. All I can give you is nothing. And nothing in my favorite Xuanzha-inspired Thomas Merton poem, nothing is what found the missing necklace. See, the king lost a very precious thing. And all the other things, strength looked for it and couldn't find it, etc. But nothing found it. Nothing found it. and said, I'm going to give you nothing. And that's going to liberate you, the nothing I give you. I'm giving you space, not objects. I'm giving you the thing in between objects. I'm not giving you time. I want to give you timelessness. I don't want to give you sound. I want to give you silence.
Now, why are you talking so much?
Because it's a paradox. I'm giving you a type of sound that is silence. Hello, I'm my friend. Husband again. Softly shouting my warning. Never will I warning. And the business that is crowded in my brain. Human remains. There's been the skulls of Mimas. There are cultures that go and fondle the remains of their ancestors. They go up to a cave where they keep old skulls and stuff, and they go, the kids will play with them and stuff like that. So that's grotesque. It isn't at all. How's that grotesque? I think the most grotesque thing is hiding the past from ourselves, hiding the dead. And we do constantly. Why would we hide them? I love seeing those pictures of monasteries where the monks are all hanging on the wall, all their bodies in various stages of mummification. Some of them are mere skeletons. Others are sort of mummified. And they're all still there. They're all still there. When someone reaches their end of their life, is the rest of their life disappear? Where does it go? Is the past invisible? Does it remain somewhere? Is it just memories? You can go up to one of those remains and one of those dead monks and think, I wonder what they were like. I wonder who they were. I wonder what they were about. I can never know. And this is comical because you can know, because now it's you. Now you are the one experiencing life. You are the one doing things and making memories and manipulating your environment. You're the ones having feelings. You're the one having fear and love and joy and pain. Pump it up, pump it up. Like sun and rain. Sing it out, God's children. Joy and pain. Like hearty white. That doesn't rhyme. No, it doesn't. But you weren't expecting that, weren't you? You were expecting it to rhyme. I'd like to throw you a curveball. But I also want you to be able to hit the ball and feel better. So I don't know what to do. I think I'll just throw things right over the plate. And it's up to you. If you don't hit it, that's fine. But I've done my part. I feel like I've done my part. I'm trying to throw you a pitch. I want you to hit it because I'm not competing with you. I just appeared on this mound. Just another person trying to make you feel good, like you've accomplished something. But it's not a real accomplishment, isn't it? I don't know. Oh, my friends. I call you my friends because I want you to be my friends, because that's when I have felt like maybe there is a purpose. Maybe I do have hope, and maybe joy is accessible when I'm with others. Not just any people, not just any people. You know, not with the cruel, with the wicked. Do you have a choice whether you're cruel or wicked? I don't know. I've done some things in my past I'm not proud of. I've had some reactions based on ignorance and fear that maybe are short of wicked, but are certainly not loving and kind. And I feel like I've learned and changed, and I wouldn't do those things again, but I got to be vigilant because I know it's in me. I know I'm dragging around this chain, this fleshy chain. I know that I'm capable of things that I don't want to be capable of causing the suffering of others. But I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. And maybe I can actually eliminate some of it, you know. I can't stop tornadoes. Oh, no, 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 no. I can't stop an earthquake or a volcano. I can't stop cancer. I can't stop a brain hemorrhage. I can't stop any of that. I can't stop arthritis. I can't stop anything that's plaguing you. I can't stop your pain. No, no, no. But I don't have to add to it. And I feel like it's going to be better for everybody if I don't add to it. Power isn't going to give me what I want. Money's not going to give me what I want. Not a lot of it, you know. A little bit, because sometimes I want a pair of sunglasses. I don't know if they're a necessity or not. But I do know this. I need other people. I know that I am lonely often. I know that other people are also lonely often. And maybe just by going on the radio, week after week, year after year, I am digging with a spoon down to Hades so I can rescue you from the chair of forgetting in which you sit. I would do that. I am digging with a spoon down to help you. I want to reach you. I want to get to you, and I want to reach out my hand, and I want to tear you off that chair. And I want you to come back up to the light with me and say, why did you do it? And I say, why not? What, was I just going to sit here? It gives me some sort of purpose. And now both of us can now rejoice in the joy of that freedom. I don't know what you're going to do with that time, and I don't either. But I sure am glad I started digging with that spoon. I could have just looked at it and thought, this is impossible. Why would I do this? It's thankless. Maybe I don't need thanks. Maybe I just need something to do. Maybe I just need some hope. Maybe I just need a task. Maybe I just need to dig with a spoon. And I thank you. Because when I got down there, maybe you're taking my hand. Maybe you're letting me pull you up. And that fills my heart greatly. I'm full of gratitude that you're listening and that you're still listening right now. Because I know we're all lonely. And I know we're all stuck. And I know we're all waiting for something. Oh, my friends, another show has gone by. Another hour has passed in our lives together. That they are happening simultaneously is such a blessing to me. And I want to tell you that you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, thank you, the miracle of radio. Thank you, the miracle of non-radio, so that you can listen in Europe. Could you, if you had like a special radio? I used to have like a world band radio. Is it possible? How far away could you be and listen to WFMU, I wonder? Would you have to be, what if you were on a dirigible with a really good high quality 1979 Radio Shack world band radio? Could you hear it then?
No.
I don't know. But could you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know. Is there an AM version? I know that goes farther. Maybe we should start broadcasting on shortwave, too. I'm gonna run that by Ken. Oh, my friends, thank you for being here. And please tune in next week. Until that time, I send with you some blessings for to keep. So keep love in your heart. And keep your heart in your chest. And if you wanna stick it on your sleeve, don't bump into walls. I'll see you again next week. Thank you.